Chapter 7. Lambert. The complete renovation of the outside walls became the first thing Anastasia noticed when they approached Dark Sepulchre. No longer did the windows exhibit a dark shade of black. Now they came in different colours, purple, pink, and red. The sign itself looked bigger than before, with all the lighted letters of the name Dark Sepulchre blinking in unison. Like many previous nights, humans lined against the side of the building, waiting to get in. The sound of music's bass thumped through the walls. On the roof of the building, strobe lights pointed to the sky, and a lighted billboard with the club's name sparkled with various colours. The building had gone through several renovations since it was built long ago. First, it served as a bottling factory for 50-plus years before being turned into a bus station for 10 years. When the city cut back on its transportation services, the building was abandoned and placed on the market. That was when the vampire Lambert bought the old building, renovated it, and a year later opened the doors of Dark Sepulchre, catering to the dark and the unusual. They walked to the front, approaching two tall and muscular human bouncers, wearing shirts with the words "Security" emblazoned on the front in white letters. She pushed them out of the way and walked in, bypassing the cashier. She pulled back a long black curtain, which separated the outside of the venue from the inside. The odour of vampires and not Damon almost suffocated her. Decorations, the waitresses, the bartenders, and the stage looked vastly different from the last time she'd been there. Rotating disco balls now replaced the life-size macrame figurines that once hung from the ceiling. The dance floor had expanded, and the black boxes which used to house scantily clad dancers were now gone. Everything had changed except the attendance of humans, who Anastasia saw behind the bar counter, standing in the corners, dancing on the dance floor, and crowding the seating booths around the dance floor. Remy's mouth curled in pleasure. More humans. More meals. She hid her amazement, and she walked through the crowd with Remy following her. The VIP balcony, located above and to the right of the dance floor, hadn't changed. That didn't surprise her. Regardless of who attended Dark Sepulchre, Lambert still needed his space to stalk and feed. Her eyes scoured the crowd, vampires from all walks of life, younger-looking ones to the older-looking ones intermingled among the humans. She watched as an older male vampire wrapped his arms around a young human woman as they danced slowly to the fast-paced music. Refusing to believe that she and Remy were the only demon at Dark Sepulchre, Anastasia looked around the venue again. "Where are all the demon?" she thought out loud to herself. "Not here, that's for sure." She watched as a vampire couple walked by with their menacing eyes scanning her and Remy from head to toe. Compared to their kind, vampires were saints. Or so Anastasia wanted to believe. She hated them and didn't think twice about killing them. They loved the spotlight and the attention humans gave them. They relished the humans' fascination, and they sired anyone. Where demons stuck to secrecy, it was the vampire who exposed themselves, gaining access and acceptance in human culture. "And to what do we owe this visit?" a familiar voice behind them said. Feeling the presence of vampire eyes staring at her, she slowly looked over her shoulder, watching Alexis, Lambert's consort, sip blood from a metal chalice in her hand, with not a care in the world. Anastasia didn't recognize her at first, but her foul and wretched vampire scent gave her away. A blonde fitted wig cut into an even bob diverged attention away from her caramel-colored skin. Heavy makeup, sparkling blue eyeshadow, bright red lipstick, and a drawn-in beauty mark in the shape of a dot slightly above the corner of her mouth covered her face. Nearly naked, wearing only a black bra and a matching black thong, she eyed them both. "My, my, don't you look all skanky?" Remy smirked at Alexis. "Just the way you like your women." Alexis smirked back. Not only did Anastasia loathe vampires, she also hated the way their presence alone could tense up a situation. "Where's Lambert?" Alexis turned her head sharply to Anastasia. just enough for the strands of her blonde wig to gently smack Remy across his face. Lambert's in the VIP section. She took two steps away and lazily motioned with her hand toward them. Didn't expect you both to come here after Kai's fall from grace. Take me to him. Alexis paused, then replied, Follow me. They walked through the crowd in single file, reaching the stairs that led up to the second floor. Alexis gracefully climbed the steps, sliding her hand along the railing and staring down at the crowd. The crowd looked small from the second floor. The music changed to a faster rhythm, and the gyration of the crowd soon followed. Alexis reached for the doorknob, but Anastasia pushed her aside and opened the door herself. It swung violently open and slammed against the wall, creating a loud enough thud that it echoed over the music. It startled the occupants inside. Lambert sat in the middle of the room, surrounded by four vampire girls, dressed identical to Alexis. His hair was no longer the brown color that Anastasia and Remy were used to. He had dyed it black and cut it short. He wore a one-piece leather matching outfit with a long trench coat to match. A dark mask with a red and black Florentine design covered the upper half of his face. He swiveled his chair to face them, making his appearance seem taller in height. He removed the straps of his mask from around his ears, and he carelessly tossed it to the side. I told you it was her. He looked at one of the women sitting on the floor next to him. Only Anastasia makes an entrance like that. Like a king to his servants, he waved the women away to leave his VIP section. They stumbled slowly out, walking by Anastasia and Remy. The last woman mumbled incoherently into Remy's ear and blew him a kiss. He winked back. Come in. He raised his voice over the music. Lava lamps rested on small lamp tables in the corners of the dark room. Even though the area smelled of lavender and incense, the stink of vampires caused Anastasia to curl her nose. Remy sat across from Lambert on a red leather couch while Anastasia chose to remain standing near the door. Anyone hungry? Lambert directed his attention to Alexis. Before they could answer, he continued. Alexis, be a dear and go grab the fresh girl from the chamber. Remy suddenly snapped his fingers, interrupting him. She's not one of Alexis's throwaways, is she? Alexis rolled her eyes and closed the door behind her. Music pouring from the speakers near the dance floor now sounded muffled, absorbed by the cushioned walls in the room. Anastasia glanced out the window, staring at the human dancers below. They moved so frantically, whipping their hands over their heads, gyrating their hips from side to side. Many of them danced as couples while others danced in groups. Precarious vampires stood on the sidelines, staring haplessly at their human counterparts. There were so many of them in Dark Sepulchre that for a short time, Anastasia felt that just leaving the club could turn into a problem. She knew her past actions didn't help maintain her welcomed status in the demon world, nor the vampire world. For Anastasia, vampires were in a whole other level below demon. Yet they considered themselves distant cousins to the vampire, and they had a lot in common. So, Lambert smiled, how can I be of service to my two favorite demon in the world? Anastasia dug deep into her pocket, pulling out a wad of cash. She tossed it at Lambert and he caught it in midair. He scanned the wad with his eyes and within seconds, he tossed it back to her. I don't need your money. Of course. Looking at the attendants, you probably have more than you can spend. She nodded in the direction of the dance floor. Business has been booming since a majority of demon left the city, Lambert replied back. I guess you of all people should know that. But we smell so much better. Remy lowered himself into the plush seats of the couch. I thought vamps had that sense of smell thing. He smoothed his hand along the back of its surface. We all have different qualities, Remy, just like your kind. Oh, so like how your kind need an invitation to enter a human's home when my kind can, you know, just walk right in. Remy placed his hands on the back of his head in a triumphant pose. Or how we vampires can sire a human overnight, when it takes a few days for your kind to sire a human," Lambert replied. "And let's not talk about demon feeding habits being so difficult. What can I say? We are a complicated but superb species. Would you also include the fact that we can control our humans with thoughts alone? At least we can read their thoughts," Remy added. Tired of their antics, Anastasia groaned. "Stop." She folded her arms across her chest. Lambert squinted his eyes at her, and Anastasia knew he had the perfect lie to say to her. She couldn't read his rolling thoughts, but she was good at reading his body language. He loved rubbing in the fact that vampires now outnumbered demon in the city. "So, how can I help you, Anastasia?" Lambert's comment didn't change her stance. She remained still and erect. He sighed. "It's been rather peaceful since the decretum was ordered." He leaned back in his chair. "Thanks to you and Celine and Lucius. So what would you like in return?" His sarcastic tone annoyed her, but he spoke the truth. Somewhat. Selene ordered the decretum against Kai. Anastasia wanted to, but she wasn't an ancient demon. However, she did most of the cleanup, and ever since then, the sanctuary fires in the city came to a halt. "You knew this would happen," Anastasia said. "Of course, I planned on it." Lambert clasped his hands together. "I was there at Kai's gathering when Celine ordered it, Anastasia, or did you forget?"
"I remember."
"And you got Lucius back from Limbo. Like you all wanted." Lambert scrunched his eyebrows. "But you're not here to talk about that, are you?"
"No," Remy spoke up. "She's not here for anything. I'm here to talk all things Kai.
Just because I cater to the demon doesn't mean that I know everything that goes on in the demon world," he replied. "Why should I even care about that imbecile?" He stood up from his swivel chair and held out his arms. "When this is all I care about?"
"Because you take the time to know everything about us," Anastasia answered. "That's what you do."
"Oh, and you allow demon to hunt right here under this very roof," Remy added jokingly. "And you knew that Lucius didn't like that." Hunting under the roof of Dark Sepulchre had its perks. Humans by the hundreds flocked to the venue, lured by advertisements for cheap liquor and scantily dressed girls, packaged all together to make the club sound alluring. There wasn't any need to hunt in the open, fearing that a human would see them. Dark Sepulchre became the natural aphrodisiac environment for demon. "Allowing your kind to hunt here, contained, meant that I didn't have to worry about the humans finding out about us. It kept my kind happy. It now keeps your kind happy. That is, whatever demon are left remaining in Minneapolis. We vampires have no competition in choosing our food, be it here or out there." Lambert took off his jacket, revealing his pale, masculine arms. Anastasia relaxed. What he said was true. Hunting in the venue curbed the necessity of her kind to dispose of the human remains. It kept demon content. Dark Sepulchre provided everything a demon needed to survive. "But as you can see," Lambert continued, "there are no demon here tonight. The majority of them are either hiding or left the city, or maybe they're in their sanctuaries, hiding from Lucius and Celine." "The problem with that theory, Lambert, is that if humans find out about us, they will eventually find out about vampires as well." Remy smiled. "And when we can't hunt them, who do you think will come after next?" He leaned in closer. "Demon loved the taste of vampire just as much as the taste of human." "Is that what you two came here for?" Lambert asked. "To threaten me?" He tilted his head slightly. "No offense, but I'm delighted your kind are few and far between. Attendance is up in Dark Sepulchre. My vamps are happy." He paused. "But you, Anastasia, you are now walking a thin line." Anastasia remained quiet. "You and Lucius and Celine," Lambert continued. "If I were you, I'd rethink my association with them before it's too late."
"That's none of your business."
"But it is." Lambert shook his head.
Do you know that Celine and Lucius have been back in Minneapolis for a few weeks? Oh, Celine went to the local Brotherhood chapter a few days ago. How about Lucius, who came here just last week and slaughtered some demon on the dance floor in front of my human and vampire patrons? His eyes widened. Should I go on? For the first time since she could remember, Anastasia felt defeated. Never would she allow any demon or vampire to speak to her the way Lambert did. If she had the strength, she would have attacked him, tearing him into shreds. But he had no reason to lie to her. If Lucius and Celine had come back to the city, why didn't they tell her? She had no clue what to do next. She started to doubt what she'd accomplished in the first place by going from sanctuary to sanctuary, killing any demon that supported Kai and his betrayal in the first place. She once respected the dictum, the rules of the demon, but now she broke them on a daily basis. Again, she couldn't help thinking that Remy was right. She was not the same Anastasia of the past. Oh, your mind is racing. Now in tune with Anastasia, Remy tilted his body toward her. Continue. She snapped from her doubtful thoughts, and her eyes darted over to Remy, who giggled slightly. Boy, would I love to know what she's thinking right now, Lambert added. Anastasia returned to her search and quickly replied to Lambert's statement. How do you know this? He chortled. Like you said, it's my position to know. The sound of the door opening interrupted their conversation. Alexis walked in, dragging a male human victim slightly behind her with a leash. His hands were chained together and his mouth was gagged. Tiny fragments of concrete littered his greasy brown hair and dried blood plastered his scuffed dirty jean shorts. Alexis rejoiced, seeing Remy's flabbergasted stare. We're out of women. She pushed the tired male toward Remy. But he's the next best thing. She placed the leash on Remy's lap. The intense smell of the human's repugnant body odor engulfed the room, making Remy cover his nose. I might have to skip out if this human is all I have to choose from, Remy joked at the victim's appearance. The human collapsed to the floor at Remy's feet. Never mind that, Lambert pointed to the victim. Food is food. He turned his attention back to Anastasia. Would you like a bite? She eats squirrel now, Remy joked. Lambert chuckled. Perhaps I can find her a few out back. Or maybe that rat that none of my human workers can catch who raids the garbage in the alleyway. Alexis chimed in. Squirrel is low on the food pole, Anastasia. Even for you. She ignored their comments. Do you know where Lucius and Celine are now? Maybe. Lambert shrugged. But I would be careful. There was something different about them, if I remember correctly. His eyes widened. Lucius acted a little strange when he was here. He smelled different. Remy lightly kicked at the human, trying to get it away from him. His body tumbled forward but then rolled back onto Remy's leg. He looked up. His eyes widened the size of golf balls. Don't you get them alive and clean anymore. They expire so quickly. Lambert shook his head. It takes work to keep them alive. The human moaned in pain. Remy moved his legs onto the couch, avoiding the human like the bubonic plague. Smelled different, Anastasia's curiosity grew. Lucius smelled older, Lambert spoke slowly. It was odd to me, but I know it wasn't his usual scent. Lucius was also very commanding. Alexis picked up on the conversation. And Celine wasn't any better. She slowly lowered herself into Lambert's lap and wrapped her arms around his neck, kissing him on the forehead. He returned her affection by kissing her gently on her cheek. Anastasia sucked in her lips, watching their copulation reaching a level that she didn't want to be around to see. And Kai? Remy asked. Why do you want to look for him? I just want to have a conversation with him, demon to demon. Well, Kai, I'm not sure, but Celine. Last time I heard she was going to some rat hole on Industrial Boulevard and Broadway, Lambert answered. Alexis began to lick the side of his face. An old truck gas station with a brick building in back. Used to belong to the city of Minneapolis, but it was abandoned years ago. He placed his arm around Alexis's waist and grinned, exposing his white, lucent fangs. That was a few days ago. Anastasia stood up. She turned to walk away before Lambert stopped her. Oh, one more thing before I forget. Word on the street is that something huge is happening in the demon world, and Celine and Lucius are behind it. If I were you, Anastasia, I'd watch my back. Anastasia scrunched her eyebrows. I'm not afraid of anyone. She looked over to Remy, who was still mesmerized by the besmirched human victim. He looked up at her. Have fun without me. With his foot, he forced the male onto his back. The victim let out a small whimper. I'm going to snack. She opened the door, and without looking back, she quickly headed down the stairs. The music thwacked her ears along with the opened thoughts of the humans she passed standing on the stairs. When she reached the lower level, she felt a gnawing stare tickling her back. She looked over her shoulder, observing two men and a woman staring back at her. Their vampire scents filtered through her nostrils. She strolled through the crowd and toward the front door. On her right, she felt the cold, hard stares coming from a group of male vampires, watching her every move. On her left, she sensed a young vampire, newly embraced, who took a delighted refuge in watching the other vampires who watched her. She pushed the front doors open, and they swung violently back, knocking against the outside walls. Without thought, she walked around the building, away from the line of humans, and she placed her hands in her pocket. Anastasia felt her muscles relax, and she took off in demon speed. The stares of vampires inside Dark Sepulchre still nagged her, and thinking about how Celine and Lucius came back to Minneapolis without telling her delved deep into her skin. She followed Lucius's commands, and now she grew tired of being his demon minion. She wanted to know what was going on. She also had to be careful and play it safe. The demon leaving the city created a void, now teeming with vampires and other little uglies. This path she made for herself proved to be dangerous. First, she had to find Celine and Lucius. Then she would go after anyone in Minneapolis who threatened to kill her.
Craving more dark supernatural fiction? Unlock early access to narrated chapters, exclusive lore, and behind-the-scenes secrets from the Demon Chronicles. Only on Patreon. Join the darkness now at patreon.com/IsaianMorrison.